Last Lord's Day, if you were here, you'll remember that we considered together in general terms the biblical teaching on the matter of pastoral oversight in the church. Now, you can appreciate that in only two classes that we are not in any way being exhaustive in our treatment of this particular subject. But I do trust that the things that we considered last time have taken some measure of root in your heart, and they have stimulated your heart to consider one particular aspect of our church life together, and that is the Lord's will with regards to his pastors looking after the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made them to be overseers. And we particularly consider the fact that the Lord Jesus is the perfect example of the shepherd of our souls. He is the shepherd of our souls, and yet he is in heaven and we are upon the earth. And he has ordained certain means then in order to shepherd us, in order to help us on our way to heaven. And one of the ways that he has done this is to give to his church pastors, shepherds, under shepherds, who have the responsibility of taking care of the flock of God. It's an awesome responsibility. It's a tiring responsibility, but it is a blessed responsibility. Pastor King and I were just discussing some things yesterday, and we were just saying it can be tiring, it can be demanding, but it is the greatest job in all the world. And we really believe that. We're absolutely convinced of that. Though at times we get weary in the work, we're never weary of the work by the grace of God. And it is this aspect of pastoral work, pastoral oversight, that we are considering again this morning. It's an aspect of a pastor's work that is so often a blessing to his own soul when he least expects it. Many a time I would get in my car on a cold night in Ireland, and I would much rather have stayed at home and put my feet up and read a good book or just relaxed or whatever. But I've managed to gird myself up and go a few short miles compared to what we have to do in Sacramento. And those that I've gone to minister to have ministered to me. And that's the peculiar aspect of pastoral work that becomes a great blessing to our souls as pastors. We try to minister to others, but often they end up ministering to us as we struggle with our own remaining corruption. It is a blessing to a pastor's soul because it is his opportunity at a private level to help his people. And any pastor worth his salt is committed to helping his people, not only publicly, but privately. Getting amongst the people, in the lives of the people. Sadly, it's often neglected by the hireling, and it's rejected by those who are not true sheep. But I'm persuaded that in this place there is a heart for this, both amongst the pastors and the people, that we have opportunity to put into practice what has to be said has been lacking amongst you for a number of years for various reasons. Now this morning I want us to get down to the nuts and bolts a little bit. I hope you've been thinking about this week. I'm quite ready to take questions from you. I'm not saying I'll have all the answers for you, but I do trust that it will be a useful exercise this morning. And in order to stimulate perhaps some discussion amongst us this morning, I want then to first of all just briefly consider the reality of pastoral authority. Because I think we need to start here in terms of this whole matter as we look at the nuts and bolts, as we look at the practical implementation of this practice in our ranks. You see, it's quite possible that when you think about pastoral oversight, the pastors coming to your house to visit, initially you get scared. They're going to see us in our own setting. Well, I think you remember I did say on one occasion in this place that I don't think I really get to know you till I meet you with your slippers on. And I really believe that. I'm absolutely convinced of that. And you know, you won't really get to know me till you meet me with your slippers on or my slippers on, whichever way it will turn out. And so perhaps as you think about this, you're a little bit nervous, a little bit fearful, and I would understand that. I would completely understand it. In fact, I want to be very sensitive to that this morning in addressing this matter. Because you're really wrestling with the issue of your relationship to your pastors and the issue of their authority in your life and how far will that extend and what should I expect and what's appropriate and what's lawful, and all of these things can make you fearful, and rightly so. Bear in mind, however, that I've got three other pastors and they'll have turns at coming to give me oversight, so I'm in one sense in a similar position to you at that level. And so whilst pastors are pastors, they're also sheep who have to be shepherded. So don't forget that we're all in this together, and that it's not that we're coming around to oversee you and we won't be overseen, because we will be. And that's the beauty of the wisdom of God in giving us the biblical teaching on a plurality of elders. And it has to also be said that there is no doubt that pastoral authority in some places has degenerated into authoritarianism. In Reformed Baptist churches, may I say. And as a dyed-in-the-wool Reformed Baptist, I think I have the right to say that. And I'm prepared to say it. And I do say it. And I'm determined that it will not happen in this place by the grace of God. We are committed to be those who exercise pastoral authority, but not authoritarianism. Now, what then is authoritarianism as opposed to pastoral authority? That's a helpful issue to consider. Well, I think that authoritarianism is where we go beyond the bounds of Scripture and start to dictate to our people things that are beyond the Word of God and are essentially our personal opinion. And we make our personal opinion the law of God. And brothers and sisters, sometimes that has happened. Men who are pastors are still sinful men. And sometimes their own preferences, their own notions, their own whims have become the things that have become laws to bind the hearts of the people of God. Brothers and sisters, we must work hard to avoid that. We must be committed to avoid that. Remember the Lord Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." Beware. Beware of the teaching of the Pharisees. And so, if I give you my opinion, I'll let you know it's just my opinion, rather than the Word of God. And there's a big difference very often, isn't there, in terms of these matters? And so beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of that authoritarianism that says, this is my opinion and this is the way it will be. I do not have the right. Christ has not given me the authority to go that far as a pastor. And we'll maybe consider some practical examples of that in a few minutes. But at the same time, whilst we must avoid authoritarianism, we must uphold pastoral authority. And that's true too. And we've got to therefore recognise that Christ has given us real authority in the church. That's a fearful thing for me. Because in the day of judgment, I'll have to give an account for my exercising of my authority. You'll have to give it, if you've got a sphere of authority in your life, perhaps in the business world, certainly in your homes, and we're going to deal with this morning in our sermon with Joseph, in terms of being parents, we have spheres of authority. How you exercise that authority can very often be a thin line between authoritarianism and that which is lawful. And we all know something of the tensions of these realities. But brothers and sisters, let's not mix things up. When we talk about pastoral authority, we're talking about real authority. But we're not talking about authoritarianism. A plague on us if we allow authoritarianism to take the place of pastoral authority. And I can say to you, working with my beloved pastors, who, the more we get to know each other, the more the Lord helps us to appreciate one another. We're all very different, but we're working hard at making sure that we're going to lead this church according to biblical principle and have pastoral authority, but not authoritarianism. But we still are men, weak. The best of men are men at best, and they've got feet of clay. And you must pray for us in this regard. And you must be willing to tell us if you feel that we're authoritarian as opposed to exercising a pastoral authority. That won't intimidate me. That will help me to be a better pastor. And so our ears are open, our hearts are open. Please accept that reality. And so, as we think then of the whole issue of pastoral oversight, we have to begin by explaining the difference between pastoral authority and authoritarianism, and recognise they are not the same things. We uphold pastoral authority, we do not desire in any way authoritarianism in our ranks. But what does it mean in practical terms? And that's what we've got to get down to. That's then the second thing I want to note this morning: the outworking of pastoral authority. I want you for a moment to anticipate in your mind a visit from your pastor. Might be me, might be Ernie, might be Chuck, might be Jim, but you're anticipating. It's coming up on Thursday evening at 7:30 or 7 o'clock. So what is in your heart? What are you anticipating in terms of the outworking of our pastoral authority? Now, I know the brethren told me yesterday in our elders' meeting that you already had a letter at one time in the past when the elders were first instituted. I think Brother Tim Thornton actually drew it up, but you had a letter of some kind showing you some of the things to expect that would be discussed in a pastoral oversight meeting. And I had a look at it, I thought, well, really, in some ways, I'm almost teaching you things you've already been taught. But I hope that it will be a refresher for you this morning. But as you anticipate a visit from one of your pastors, what can you expect? To what extent does our authority go in your life? In other words, what kind of questions are we allowed to ask you? And what kind of questions are we not allowed to ask you? That's getting down to the nuts and bolts, isn't it? I want you to understand this morning. So let's consider, first of all then, the personal realm of your own life. Your pastor sitting at your fireside. I'm not so sure you have too many fires in California, in the sense of in the summertime, certainly. You might have some in the trees, but hopefully you won't have any in your house. But you might not be sitting around the fireside. You might be sitting wherever you'll be sitting, in the patio or wherever you're going to have your oversight visit. What's he going to ask me? What's he going to say to me? Well, let's just consider for a moment the authority that we bring. We bring the authority of Scripture. Now, what are the kind of things that we're going to want to talk to you about? It's true that we might for a little while get into some small talk. How you doing? How did work go? How's it going with your favourite sports team or your hobby? Or, you know, but we're not there on a pastoral visit to spend 50 minutes talking about small things and the things that really are not getting down to the heart of the issue. We're happy to talk to you about those things, of course, as a personal friend, but our pastoral visit has got to have a much more spiritual focus. Not at the end of the day, as I said to the men yesterday, that we don't come across natural. We're not going to come in and the first thing we say, okay, let's sit down, let's open the Bible, let's read, let's pray. No, it's not to be forced. We're not coming to you with a clipboard with questions. Now, I've got 15 questions here, we have to get through them because this is our pastor over there. It should be very natural that you get to know us as people, that we get to know you as people. But at the same time, whilst our interest in you as your pastor is an interest in your whole person, and I do want to know what you do for a living, I do want to know what your hobbies are, I do want to know the things about you and your background and things like that, because I'm just that kind of pastor. But at the same time, whilst we're interested in your physical interests, your physical well-being, it is your spiritual well-being that we are particularly interested in as your pastors. And so whilst we'll be happy to discuss your physical health and your work and your material circumstances, remember that we are not medical doctors. But we are spiritual doctors, we trust. Albeit rather poor ones, but we're trying to grow in these things. And so our primary focus will not be to sit and go through a list of your physical ailments, though we're happy to hear how you're doing in that department. You might be better referred to a professional who would do something more for you in that department than we can. We're going to talk to you about your spiritual well-being. So be rest assured, we're not going to ask you what's in your bank account. That's not our business. That's going beyond the realms of our spiritual authority. That's your private business. We're not going to be getting into the nitty-gritty of your personal interests and ask you, what TV programs do you watch? And all that kind of stuff. Now, you want to talk to us about some of that, that's your business. But that's not what we're there for. We're not going to get into the whole issue of what kind of car should I buy, Pastor. That's up to you. Maybe you should see Matt more than us. But the reality is, we're not there to discuss those things. Pastor, where should I go for my holidays? That's your problem. That's your choice. It's not our business. We're not going to be getting into all of that. Well, you might want to share with us where you're going on your holidays. We'll happily look at your holiday snaps. But that's not our concern. That's not our concern, brothers and sisters. Here's what you can expect us to talk to you about. Your devotional life. How's it going? In terms of your reading of the scriptures. Where are you reading? Are you benefiting from it? How's your prayer life doing? Are there some struggles? Can we help you? Maybe you're saying, well, Pastor, you know, I got this book in the bookshop. You know, it's a Puritan book, but I can't understand the English. Hey, so you're not the first person. And it's not the first time I'll have said to somebody, well, maybe you need to start in something you can understand. And don't be worried about that. And so we get into that kind of discussion. We talk about these things. The things that are going to help you, brothers and sisters, progress in holiness. Now, why have we got the right to do that? Well, when you go to the scriptures, what do you find in Paul's epistles? As he writes to the churches, as he gives instruction to the pastors, as he gives instruction to the churches, what is he calling them to do? He's calling them to progress in sanctification, to grow in grace and in a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, that is what we are concerned about. That is what we are called to do. To discuss those particular matters with you. So for example, turn to Matthew 5. We might take out Matthew 5 and we might open Matthew 5 up in your hearing. And we might talk to you about this whole issue of the Beatitudes. And you might say, you know, Pastor, I'm having a problem at work. I've tried to take a stand on a spiritual issue. And I'm now getting ridiculed and I'm getting mocked. And we might say, well, let's look at Matthew 5:11 and let's remind ourselves. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. And we might get down into the nitty gritty of that wrestle, that struggle. But we'll go to Scripture in order to bring encouragement, in order to bring instruction, in order to bring direction, to encourage your heart to continue to go on with Christ. We may ask you, are there any struggles in your conscience at the moment? Are you having a struggle with a bad conscience in any areas that we can perhaps discuss and help you with? Now, what you volunteer to us as information, that's your prerogative. That's your prerogative. You want to stay closed and hidden? That's up to you. You want to be open with your pastors? That's up to you. We're not going to force the issue, brothers and sisters. We're going to encourage you. We trust as your confidence is built up in us as your pastors that you'll feel more and more to do that. I don't really expect necessarily on my first round of oversight with some of you as you get to know me that you're going to all together show me all your cards. I'm not that naive. And that's fine. Because you've got to be careful. You want to get to know the new man and who is he and what's he like. That's fine. Please be relaxed about that. Please do not be intimidated about that. I'm quite happy that that would be the case. Hopefully, as we grow together, you'll feel more confident and trust our judgment and trust our leadership. Sometimes you, as you'll find out in a minute or two as we get to it, will have to criticise us. And maybe for some of you that will be harder than anything else. But you've got to even have the strength to do that sometimes for our good. And so let's recognise here, brothers and sisters, that when it comes to the personal issues, we're coming to your home to minister Christ to you, to encourage you in your walk with God. We want to talk about how well you're putting on Christ and how well you're putting off sin. And we have the biblical mandate for that if you turn across to Ephesians. And you see why it's important for the whole church to know the whole counsel of God, because then you're not going to be surprised. When we say in Ephesians 4:25, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbour, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labour, working with his hands and what is good, that he may have something to give him who is needy. You see what Paul's doing? He's telling us on the one hand, put away. He's telling us on the other hand, put on. Brothers and sisters, that's the business we're in. We're concerned that you're putting off sin and putting on Christ. We're not going to come and say, put off, put off, put off, and never encourage you to put on, which can happen sometimes. But at the same time, you can't put on unless you put off. And so we've got to understand the whole working out of pastoral authority in your personal life. And so you can expect us to help you in those areas that are identified as areas of need in your heart and in your life. You can expect us to exhort you, to encourage you, and yes, if necessary, we will admonish, but we'll do it graciously. We'll do it lovingly as God helps us. And the more willing you are to wholeheartedly be open with us as your pastors, the better our oversight times together are going to be. It's the old cliche, isn't it? The more you put into something, the more you get out of it. It's just like church life. Corporately, the more you're committed to the life of the church, the more you'll enjoy it, the more benefits you'll get from it. The more you stand back, the less happy you'll be and the more things you'll see that are wrong. Now, does anybody have any questions they want to ask at this point in terms of the whole issue of the outworking of pastoral authority personally, in the personal realm? We're going to get to the domestic, we're going to get to the ecclesiastical, but in terms of the personal realm, perhaps you've been thinking this week on this matter. Peter. Okay, I'm going to get to that at the end about preparing for a pastoral visit and how you have responsibility to prepare for it just as we do. But that's a helpful point, brother. I mean, I would hope that, certainly I've had some long pastoral visits, but usually the last hour is spent more drinking coffee and having a chat. But that's just, my wife used to complain because I used to be too long blethering after my pastoral visits, but in Ireland that's just the way it was. But I'm conscious that in this context we have to, what is a reasonable time? It depends. We don't want to get into, as I'll mention later, into some of the deeper issues that maybe need extra pastoral work, some counselling. We'll maybe give some general principles and then come back as a pastor later on to deal with some of the heart issues, the deeper issues. But we'll come to that, Peter. But it's helpful that the congregation does have to prepare in some measure for a pastoral visit, which we'll talk about later. Anybody else, any questions? Joe. We battered this around in the elders' meeting yesterday morning, we've come to the conviction at this point. The problem basically is this, Joe, at this stage, as I judge it, and we've discussed it together and come to a general perspective on it, there may be some cases that we think we should maybe go in twos, but on the whole, I think that I don't want it to be an intimidating experience for the congregation. Two elders turn up at your door. I think there can be a place for that, and I agree with that. There will be cases where that will happen. But on the whole, at the minute, we want to get round as many people and touch base with as many of the congregation at this point so that people recognise they can have an opportunity to get to know us. And with all the best intentions in the world, you really will only get to know a man if he's there on his own. Just the dynamics of two men being in the room. And I think that we then wrestled it through and bounced it back and forward and came to the conviction that at the moment, generally speaking, this oversight schedule will be that we'll try to do it on our own. Now that makes us vulnerable, there's no two ways about that, but welcome to the Christian ministry. That's my honest perspective on that, brother, that it's a vulnerable job, and if you're not prepared to be vulnerable at times, you're going to find it difficult. Now that may mean that it gives us more work in one sense if things go wrong in a pastoral visit, but we've got some mechanisms that if, for example, just openly explain it to you, that if someone asks a question that perhaps one of us feels we need to refer to the elders, then we'll simply say, look, we really can't, I don't really want to get into that at the moment, I'll need to refer it back to the elders. And that protects us in one sense from getting into something that maybe we ought not to at that point. So we've kind of discussed how we can be protected at the same time, but at the same time be willing to be vulnerable. That our people recognise that we're out there for their good. This is us out trying to minister the Lord and encourage the people in the congregation. So it would only really be in a situation, I think, where perhaps it was decided by the elders that we needed to have a couple of the men go, that we would do that. And again, we hold that as our judgment in each situation, you know. But it's a helpful question. Dennis. We hope at the moment, this round of oversight, to try and do it all, Dennis, by the end of June. And then we'll start again. So it could be that, depending on when you fall in the schedule, you might get one, you might get two every in 8 months. But in a 12-month period, we are aiming to try and do it twice. But you can appreciate that, you know, things happen, pressures come. There are two full-time men, two part-time men, and so we're trying our best to, you know, work with that. But we're committed as an eldership to try and get round everybody at least twice in a year, or in that 12-month period almost. But you certainly will have one pastoral visit a year. If you haven't, I want to see red flags. There's something, we fell down at our post if you're not getting at least one pastoral visit in the year. And I'm definitely determined that won't happen. Theo. I think, Theo, at least at one point, I would certainly say this, that, you know, other members don't have the right, per se, to come in, you know, arrange a pastoral visit with you. If you have people over at your home and you talk about the same stuff as we talk in oversight, praise God. My attitude is that we're ministering to each other, and that's a good encouragement. I have no objection to that. If you have, of course, friends in the church where you ask the same kind of questions to each other that we ask of you as pastors, praise the Lord. To me, I'm rejoicing in that. So that's not a problem for me. But I think that the basic distinction is that we have the right and the authority to go around everybody and see how everybody's doing. Each member doesn't have that authority or that right, but you certainly have, as you interact with one another. The questions we're asking, brother, are not really going to be any different from good, meaningful, personal, spiritual relationships with each other. That's how I see it. You know, so you may already have several friends that you do this with. You know, we're just going to join the queue, the line, as it were, you know. And so I don't see it. But in terms of the issue of then addressing sin, we have the right to take it to another level as your pastors. And that's where the issue of our authority comes in. That if we really see issues that really are serious issues, you may come to us, you know, on the basis of Matthew 18, the second level, but we have the right at that point to determine, does it go to the church? And that's another aspect of our authority field that the rank and file don't have. Is that helpful? Amen. Well, to me, it's an example of being an example to the flock. Therefore, that as you see how we interact with you spiritually, we want our people to interact with each other in the very same way. That's the whole point. You know, Ernie? That's a good point. That's it. Yeah, that's a good point, brother. Yeah. Jim? That's right. Yeah, we are the ones who've been given the responsibility to oversee and therefore are held accountable for how we do that. That's helpful. Okay, let's move on to the domestic realm then. We come into your home, we talk about your personal realm. Now, of course, as people, you live in homes. And you have to say, well, what are the pastors going to ask us about our homes? Are they going to ask us about our homes? Are we interested in your homes? Well, yeah, we are. And I believe that if you turn to Ephesians 5, we have some insight there as to the kind of things that we have a right to talk to you about. In chapter 5 and verse 22 and following, we read there the apostle's instruction for homes. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the saviour of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. As we come into your homes, brothers and sisters, we do want to talk to you about the climate of your home, spiritually. There are some questions that we're not going to ask you. It's not our business to get into the intimate details of a conjugal relationship. We're not going to ask you about these things. You want to talk to us about those things, that's up to you to put it on the table, but we ain't going there. And we want to assure you of that. Some people have got this notion that we can just ask whatever we want. There are boundaries of Christian courtesy and dignity and that we don't go to. And so please don't be afraid of that. But there are times in pastoral ministry that some of these things come up and we have to deal with them. And usually these things will be brought onto the table by people who really recognise there's a problem, they need help. But we're not going to get into that. We're going to be more asking things like, is your husband leading you in the things of Christ? So brothers, be ready for that. I'm going to look your wife in the eye and I want her to tell me the truth. She might say, well, you know, Pastor, we need some help in this department. Don't be intimidated by that. Don't be fearful. Some men, they get angry and annoyed that their wife would let the pastor know that. And some women, they end up for years being miserable because they haven't had opportunity to really address this issue. We've got to get rid of that. We've got to address that. On the same hand, dear sisters, I'm going to look you in the eye. I'm going to say, are you submitting to your husband in a biblical way? Then I'm going to ask your husband that question because he's going to be able to tell me. And maybe he's going to say, well, you know, we have some problems in this area. We need to talk about it. And that can happen. But don't be afraid of that. I don't think there's one marriage here this morning, I don't believe, my own included, who haven't had wrestles in this whole department. The whole issue of the authority of the husband, the whole issue of the submission of the wife, the exercising of these things, the coming together of these matters, where does it gel? And brothers and sisters, we could keep each other here all morning giving illustrations about that, couldn't we? Our struggle with our own remaining corruption. I'm convinced that our marriages only survive by the grace of God. Let's be honest. That's reality. But let's accept it as reality then. And let's therefore be open in terms of this. Are you leading, brother, your family in family worship? How's the family worship going? Well, Pastor, we're having some struggle. You know, we only get it a couple of times in the week and my schedule. That's fine. We want to talk about that. We want to open that up. We're not coming in and saying, you must make sure that you... We want to open that up. Are there areas that we can encourage you with? Are there books that we could direct you to? Well, Pastor, you know, we're sitting and we're really reading through John Owen in family worship and my six-year-old isn't understanding this. That would worry me. I would take John Owen away immediately. Some of us are 36 and we don't understand the John Owen. So we got to be real in this situation, brothers and sisters. I want to know how it's going. I want us to discuss the whole matter of our children. How are we getting on? Look at Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, I don't want you to think for a minute that I expect your children to be present in the oversight meeting. I don't. I've no problem that I meet them. I've no problem that we have some interaction together. In fact, I would welcome that. But I will be asking you about the whole matter of your family and your children and how it's going in terms of your family discipline. Are there some struggles? And maybe you're going to have to say, Pastor, you know, I've been guilty of provoking my children to wrath. Maybe we need to talk about that. We need to open that up together. But brothers and sisters, see this as an opportunity of getting help and encouragement and direction. That's all it is. We're not there to judge you and condemn you and come down. We're not coming with a stick in our back pocket. We're coming to encourage and help. We want to minister the word. We want to encourage you in your homes to walk with Christ and have the climate that glorifies the Lord so that the air that you're breathing in your home is the air of heaven. That's what we're committed to. I remember on one occasion, a number of years back, a pastor told me that he'd preached a sermon on child discipline and the use of the rod. Now, I believe in the use of the rod in appropriate ways. I'm committed to the principle of corporal punishment. But he'd come to hear about somebody in his congregation who had began to spank his 8-week-old baby. Now, sometimes as pastors, we have to recognise that what we say from the pulpit is not applied the way it should be. Now, sometimes we're responsible for that because we don't make it clear enough. Although if you qualified everything you said in the sermon, you'd probably be standing talking for 5 hours. But the reality is this, that he had to go out and deal with that situation because that was a ridiculous application. But you see, if we're not in the lives of our people and we're not interested in getting into the lives of our people, that child could have been the victim of terrible abuse over a long-term period. And you see, therefore, what you must see, brothers and sisters, is that the pulpit is one aspect of our ministry, but the pastoral visitation is an extension of that. And there must be no disconnect between the pew or the seat and the pulpit. Too many places have been disconnected. And we've got to reconnect if we're disconnected. And so when I'm actually among you in your homes talking about the things of God, and then I say something in the pulpit, you can say, well, I heard that in my home, I know he's preaching it in the pulpit. Well, that's good, because there's a connection. I'm not any different outside of the pulpit than I am in the pulpit in terms of the things of God. And it's so important that you realise, brothers and sisters, that for a healthy church to go on with God, there must be a connection, a healthy connection between the pulpit and the pew, between the people and the pastors. Where there isn't that, sickness spreads like wildfire. And that is something we must guard against. We're not going to do it perfectly, so accept that right from the start. But we're going to try to do it as well as we can by the grace of God. Jim? I'm going to deal with that, brother. I've got confidentiality at the end here. Don't worry. Absolutely. Yeah. I can understand that, Jim. I'm going to stress that in my closing application. I hope I get to it. Yeah, I appreciate that, brother. Okay, anybody any questions about the domestic realm? Anybody want to ask any questions in that department? You might think of questions afterwards. Well, please feel free to continue the class in the corridors of the church, and that's no problem. But I do want us to understand what we're about when we come to your home in these matters. Okay, the ecclesiastical realm then. Let's just, for a few moments, mention that. The third area of your life that you can expect us to talk to you about is the area of the church. Your membership in the church, your participation in the church, but primarily the issue of your relationship with us as your pastors and your benefiting or otherwise from the ministry. And we have to be prepared as your pastors at this point to really make ourselves vulnerable. I will ask you, do you have any problems with me? Then take a deep breath and sit back and wait on your answer. But seriously, I want you to be able to do that, brothers and sisters. We are not above contradiction. And we will determine to walk that way amongst you here. So that you are able to approach us and say, you know, Pastor, the way you said that, or this is what you said in the sermon and I felt I didn't understand, or maybe it sounded, that's fine. I have no problem that you would do that with me, brothers and sisters. Because you do not have the finished article standing in front of you. I can assure you of that. And we will ask you, how are you relating to us? Are you benefiting from the ministry or not? Are there lacks that you see? Are there emphases that are perhaps wrong or imbalanced? We need you to tell us. The pastor who's not prepared to hear that is going to maintain imbalance and get worse. The balance will just go, will get even worse, and he'll go off on a tangent. You can expect us to ask you about your relationships with others in the church in this sense. Do you have any problems with anybody else? Are you dealing with your relationships biblically? If you at that moment decide you're going to dump on us and tell, we go, hold on. Are you dealing with it, Matthew 18? If you're not, don't tell me. Deal with it biblically. And then if it's not been resolved, then we're willing to see if we can help. But until then, I don't want to hear it. And neither do your elders, your other elders. We don't want to hear it unless you're dealing with it biblically. The first thing you're going to get from us is an admonition: deal with it biblically. Don't dump on us, because we're not there to be dumped on. And we will stand, withstand you in that, brothers and sisters, and you'll see that we not only have a smile, but we have some teeth. Okay? Some of us have our own teeth, some of us don't. Chuck. Exactly. Amen, brother. Amen. Ernie. Sure. Yeah, and sometimes, brothers and sisters, please recognize, we're going to make the wrong judgment call. You know? One of the great difficulties as pastors is sometimes we think we'll hold back and not jump in, and then we hold back too long and other things come in and make a bigger mess. Or we jump in too quick, and prematurely we're not able to really deal with the situation, and we make mistakes. So recognize that we will make mistakes. But at the same time, if we're committed, presuppositionally committed to doing things biblically, then we can resolve these issues and we can work through them as a body if they arise. And so we want you to talk about that. We want you to talk about, are there men in the congregation that we're overlooking who have gifts that perhaps we should be trying to develop them? We want to hear that from you. We want to hear from you, are there areas of our church life that we need to look at, that we need to address? We're open to listen to that and to look at it from a biblical perspective. We want you to recognize, brothers and sisters, that this is an opportunity for you. In these areas, as we talk together, as we minister to you, it's an opportunity for you to have input into the life of the church directly with your pastors. It's your time with your pastors. Look forward to it in that way, as a benefit to your soul. Rick. We're a willing brother to meet with anybody who wants to meet with us. That's all I can say. We have a stewardship to oversee those over whom Christ has given us oversight, but we're willing to meet with anybody. Anybody requests a pastoral visit, anybody wants to meet with us, we'll schedule something in and we will meet with them. And so I really mean that. Whether it doesn't matter how old they are, it doesn't matter whether, you know, they've just arrived in the church, we're willing to do that. And that's, we can say no more than that. We have to simply say that if people want us to meet with them, they must tell us that, because we are not mind readers. With all the best intention in the world, God alone has omniscience. We don't. Joe. Let me get to that, Joe. It's the third point. The attitudes to avoid. Here are four things, and they kind of address a little bit what Rick said and a little bit what you said here, Joe. Here's the attitudes to avoid as you look at oversight, okay? Don't have the attitude, this is the only time you can speak with your pastors. Okay? So in other words, I'll just wait till he comes in 3 months, and I'll have a list of 49 questions that I've put together over that 3 months, because I've not been happy and I've had these problems and I've really been struggling with this and that and next thing, and they've not been coming. No. We are available all the time to talk to you. That's, please, brothers and sisters, if I had the overhead today, I would have it up there, underline it, red pen, whatever. We are available all the time to meet with you. This is our regular oversight schedule to make sure that we're getting round all the congregation regularly. But this is not the only time you can ask us to come to your home or to meet with us as your pastors. I emphasize that. I put it in bright lights. whatever way I can make it clear to you this morning, don't say, well, they're coming in 3 months, I'll just wait, and then you get this list of stuff. If you need to see us, if you have a problem, you call us. We're available. I want to make that clear. Please, please, please. You know, if you learn nothing else this morning, remember that. We're available. And if the young people want to talk with us, if non-members want to meet with us, please, please, please contact us. We are available. We're willing. We'll schedule something. We'll get to you. And I really can't stress it enough in terms of that. But it's a very good point, because I have found over the years, Joe, that's exactly what happens. You go to somebody and they say, well, no, Pastor, I've been thinking about this for 4 months. And I'm thinking, why have you been thinking about it for 4 months? You know my phone number. You see me every Lord's Day. Just let me know and we'll come and talk. And let's just get it out of the way. Let's just deal with the issue. And brothers and sisters, I urge you, I exhort you, I plead with you. Don't let that happen. Please don't let that happen. If you need us, we're available. Our numbers are all on that, those little cards that are out there in the hallway. Please get one and carry it around with you. And please don't for a moment think you have to wait till you're oversight before you can deal with issues. The oversight is our effort to be structured and to be orderly in our overseeing of the church. If we don't do it, we'll never get round in an appropriate way. But that doesn't mean that in between our oversights we're not busy having counselling, because that's one of the things I want to make clear here. This is not biblical pastoral counselling sessions. They may have to be factored in over and above our oversight. The illustration that Pastor Masters gave yesterday in the elders meeting was helpful. You know that a doctor will do his regular rounds every day in the hospital to check up. And he finds a problem in someone, he doesn't automatically close the curtains, put on the mask and start operating. He has to schedule them for surgery. And there has to be procedures going through so that that case can particularly be taken out and dealt with in an appropriate way. Well, it's a similar analogy for us, brothers and sisters. We're not going to be able to get into what maybe requires 6 or 8 weeks of pastoral counselling in a 2.5 hour oversight visit. It's just not possible. Once we start doing that, we'll never get our oversight schedule fulfilled. And there'll be some sheep who'll never get a chance to meet with their pastors, and that's not right. So please recognise then that the oversight schedule is not the same as us saying, well, I think we should meet for 3 or 4 weeks together for an hour each week and go through some of this stuff for counselling. We'll do that too. That's over and above this. This is just the basic level of us getting round the congregation in an appropriate fashion. So please recognise these things. Recognise not only that it's not the only time that you can speak to your pastors, but also, as we mentioned earlier, this is not your opportunity to let loose on your pastors. Some people take it as that. Remember, pastoral oversight, like every relationship, is a two-way street. So whilst we're happy to hear you say, I'm not happy with this, I'm struggling with that, that's fine. You get ready for us to then say to you, well, we're not happy with this. And we're not happy about that. And the scriptures teach this, and you're saying that, but this is what the Bible says. So remember, it's a two-way street. Don't have the attitude, here come the pastors, and we'll just simply dump all our complaints on them and send them on their happy way. We certainly won't be too happy if that's what our oversight visit degenerates into. It's a time of mutual edification, brothers and sisters. We're happy to receive criticism. We're happy to receive your struggles. We're happy to receive even your complaints about things in the church. That's not a problem. But recognise it's not time. It's not a griping session for complaining sheep. It's not. It's a time of mutual edification. We're coming to minister Christ in your home. We're coming to encourage your heart. Respect it as that. Any complaints you have, any struggles you have, any unhappiness you have, feel free to express it to us, but make sure, as we'll see as we close, that you do it in the right way. That's all we're asking. We're not saying you're not entitled to complain. We're not saying that you don't have lawful criticisms. But we'll just say, make sure that when you give it to us, you give it to us in a Christian way. That's all we're saying. And then we come to the issue that Pastor Masters mentioned. Don't say, I want to tell this pastor something in confidence, but nobody else should know. Now, I've taken it slightly differently, but it's helpful for Pastor Masters to clarify. Everything you say to us as elders will be treated in the strictest confidence. But recognize this: if you speak to one pastor, you speak to all the pastors. We are not going to allow a situation to arise in this church where you play one pastor against another. There will be no daylight between us. If you don't like it, sorry. That's just the way it's going to be. It must be that way. Otherwise, the devil will gain a foothold in the leadership and split us. And if he splits us, he'll destroy you. And that's his strategy. So if you speak to me, be sure I'll tell my pastors on Saturday morning in the elders' meeting if it's necessary, if it's an issue. Now, of course, we said this yesterday too, that most of the time our elders' meetings will discuss 10% of the congregation. The other 90% who are trying to walk with the Lord, who are really just battling along, will never ever be mentioned in the elders' meetings, but it will always be the problem cases that end up in the elders' meeting for discussion. That's the nature of pastoral ministry. But recognize, if you speak to one of us in your home, we will give a report back to the elders' meeting of how it went and are there any issues that are to be raised in regards to this. But we are committed to each other as pastors, not to allow daylight to come between us. Any issues that we might be debating together that we're not completely at one on, you may never even hear about them. You may never know about them, simply because we resolve it in the elders' meeting. That's the dynamic, Ernie. Yeah, that's helpful clarification. You have to leave us free, brothers and sisters, to make some judgment calls on these things. You know, that maybe we need time to think about something, or maybe you just want to deal with us one-on-one for a season, and we need to deal with that. But eventually, if it becomes a serious matter, then you have to recognize that we'll have to bring it to the eldership, because we have to come to unity of mind in terms of direction. Chuck.
I think another thing is our elders' meetings never end on time.
If we've had a good oversight visit with you, it'll simply be had a couple of good oversights this week. That's as much as you'll get a note in the elders' meetings. And you know, you really don't want to be mentioned in the elders' meetings. I'm just being honest. You really just want us to be able to say, had a good time with brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. Pass on. That's really going to be good for you, as well as for us. Tim, Matt, did you have a question, brother? That's a fair comment. But yeah. Sure. Yeah. No, that's helpful, but I appreciate that. That's very important, Matt, because obviously that's part of the building of relationships and the building of confidence. And if you say to us in an oversight visit, you know, Pastor, I'd like you just to keep this to yourself at the minute, we can give that commitment. But recognize that if it develops into something bigger or more difficult, we have to say to you, now we've got to bring this to the elders, and you have to give us that liberty. But we're willing to give that without any problem. That's helpful, man. I appreciate that, Ernie. That's good, helpful. Okay, let me just quickly get finished here, because I just want to close this stuff off. I mentioned also that it's not a season of pastoral counselling so much as pastoral oversight. The counselling sessions may have to be scheduled for another time. They will have to be scheduled, and we will do that. We will be committed to that. So see the difference between your pastoral oversight visit and a season of pastoral counselling that you may have to embark upon to get help to deal with certain issues. But let me just quickly close with this. The attitude that you should cultivate as you anticipate your pastoral visits. First of all, seek to receive your pastors prayerfully. Please pray for us. You know, we're nervous too. We're fearful too. You know, we're not coming to you saying, hey, we've got all the answers here. We come to you in the fear of the Lord. We come with dry mouths and stomachs turning and dry hands. And, you know, it's not easy. But it's our calling. So pray for us as we pray for you. We're inadequate men. And we're not asking you to become emotionally dependent on us. We're going to point you to Christ. We want you to stand on your own two feet spiritually. That's our goal. That's what we're working towards. You may be, many of you are already there, so that's going to be easy in some regards. But it's not all the case. So please pray for us. Receive us prayerfully. Relate to your pastors lovingly. And I've mentioned this. There are going to be awkward moments in our oversight. There are going to be awkward questions. There are going to be, perhaps for us, criticisms. Make sure that your tone of speech and your use of words is as gracious as you can make them. Even though you have to tell us, I think you're wrong. Please say it kindly. Don't snarl at us. We'll not snarl at you. If we snarl at you, you've got every right to be reporting us for being abusive shepherds. That's not our heart. So receive us lovingly. In terms of your judgments, give us the benefit of the doubt. Love thinks no evil. Recognise that we could be wrong on things. Our judgments could be a little bit off. But don't start to think there's a conspiracy theory going on. Don't start to get suspicious of us unjustly. If you feel that there's something to be addressed, please address it with us openly. You give the impression, then we don't want to give impressions. We want to just be open and straightforward in our dealings. So relate to us lovingly and relate to us honestly. You could tell us a whole lot of baloney, and how are we going to know? You could pull the wool over our eyes. Only the Lord sees really the reality. We have to take you at face value, but be honest with us. We want to know if you're struggling. We want to know if you've got a problem. We want to know if you're unhappy. We want to know if there are issues that need to be looked at and addressed. We want to hear those things, because our goal, brothers and sisters, is that Christ is formed in you. That's our heart. And though we will be men who will fail ultimately to do it perfectly, we come armed with the Word of God. We trust, equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit, to do what Christ has called us to do at this time in our life. And it is our desire that as you relate to us that way, we'll try as well to relate to you. Well, what's the practical implementation of all of this as we close? Well, the schedule's been made up for the next 6 months. I hope they're not going to say, well, I wanted the other pastor to come and visit me. Please don't have that spirit. Eventually, we hope every pastor will be in every home over the next couple of years. That's the goal. We hope that you'll be in every home before that, maybe on a more social level. But over the next few weeks, we're going to be contacting you as members to try and arrange an oversight visit with you. But you can appreciate we can't do it all in 1 week. We're spreading it out over 6 months. If you really have some issues that you need to address and we need to address with you, you don't have to wait for an oversight visit. Just let us know, and we'll be there and we'll try to minister to you as we can. But over the next 6 months, we hope to get round all the congregation. And so when your pastors call, perhaps by telephone, to just set up an oversight, do all you can to accommodate us. We might have to change it. It might happen your schedule, our schedule clashes. That's fine. But have an open heart to try and accommodate as best you can, so that by the end of June, we'll have done as much as we can under the Lord to have got round everybody and see how everybody's doing spiritually. And hopefully then have a greater insight into the mind of the church and the state of the church and how the flock of God are doing in this particular congregation. As we move forward, brothers and sisters, let us all move forward together, committed to these things, believing that they're for our good, believing that there are great benefits to be had if we exercise ourselves faithfully. If you want to know what it's really all about, this book here, The Reformed Pastor, we're reading this as an eldership now. If you want to read it, you'll get an insight into some of the dynamics that's involved in this, the theology behind it. It's reformed not in the sense he was a Calvinist, in the sense that he was committed to a ministry of reformation in the congregation of the people, on the lives of the people. Richard Baxter was committed to visiting his congregation regularly, and God done a remarkable thing through his ministry in Kidderminster back in the 1600s. It's worth a read. I do admit that the old English can be difficult, but it's worth ploughing through and getting some principles from it. If you want to know a little bit more about it, I would encourage you to read that. There are some other books available, but that is the classic, I think, in terms of the whole issue of pastoral oversight. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord help us. And may this time be a time of mutual edification and building up of the saints of God in this place, that we might glorify Christ, and that the Spirit of Christ might abide amongst us in great measure in the days that lie ahead. Let's pray together.
Amen.
Father, we thank you this morning that we've been able to open up some of the matters relating to pastoral visitation amongst us. We thank you for the spirit of communication even that we've been able to have as we've had opportunity for questions. Father, there are perhaps many more questions in our minds and hearts, but we pray that you'll help us in the days that lie ahead to implement this practice in our congregation in such a way that it will bring glory and honour to your name. Our desire, Father, is to see this body grow together in the things of Christ. Our desire, Father, is to know in this place the power of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ might be exalted, and that this church might grow in grace and in a knowledge of Christ. Father, you know that we need you, and unless you go with us into this endeavour, it will be in vain. And so we ask you, Lord, to deal with all of our hearts this morning. Take away our fears. Give us the grace that we need. And may this time, over these next months together, be a time of great encouragement and help as we seek to walk together by faith. For Jesus' sake. Amen.